Great to get some time with you today, Kevin. But you know, you and I go back a long way, and I think there's a lot of maybe emerging talent who watch our stuff who may not be as familiar with you as some of the more mature folks like us. So maybe you could tell us a bit more about yourself and a bit about, you know, how you evolved in this industry, and was this always something, being a services tech leader, that you wanted to do when you were growing up?
Well, Phil, thanks for chatting with me. As always, it's great to talk with you. I can't even remember how many years we've been chatting right now. I can't say that I knew that I wanted to be a services tech leader. What I did know was I wanted to apply technology to business. That's what intrigued me all along, right? That's what was exciting to me. And so, you know, I started out as a, you know, as I graduating from school, you know, I, like everybody else, it was in the, if you can remember back when, in the tech era in Boston, right? So I'm a Boston College graduate, the tech era in Boston. So digital, Data General, Prime Computer, all those people that don't exist, I interviewed with all of them, and they were, you know, interesting, right? But what I really got, you know, grabbed by was a class that was taught by, at that time, Arthur Anderson in our school, that was about how do you apply technology to business. And they were teaching the school, right? And so that's what got me excited and got me started. And from there, you know, it's kind of gone all over the place. It's you know, it's been 30 plus years now that I've been in this business. I've seen a lot of changes. One thing that hasn't changed is, you know, talking to you, Phil, and you're always at the forefront of like what's happening next. And we can have lots of great exchanges, you know, around clients and with each other about the trends and what we're seeing. And, you know, when we talked about outsourcing, right, we talked about what's happening next, right? And then, you know, we got interested in what's happening in the industry, what's happening with data, right? And so, you know, as I've gone to a couple of different places and really been involved in innovation and creativity, but most of all, you know, applying tech, the latest in technology, you know, to work with the biggest, the world's biggest companies. And that's what I find exciting.
Excellent. Excellent. And I think I remember we met 2003, and you were leading a company called Exalt at the time. You were the COO, I think. And they were like a game changer, trying to bridge HR technology with HR process. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that. And I remember meeting and talking, you know, in and around that. And, you know, I go back to the Exalt days a lot because it was innovation, right? And it was creativity and applying it to an HR process, but thinking about it differently, right? Before people had done little pieces of the process, and our value proposition is take over the whole process and use it to game-changing, you know, in game-changing things in HR. And we were able to do some great things. Later, that went on to be Hewitt. But, you know, and I think I remember having a conversation with you along the way saying, what's next after that, right? How do you apply that next? And I returned back to Accenture for some period of time and worked with their BPO businesses. And then, you know, helped set up all the facilities in India, which were super, super exciting, you know, worked with the team to be able to do that. The biggest thing is I've always been privileged to work with great teams. You know, I'm not afraid to do things that are different. And I like, you know, to get lots of input from people like you to think about where is it going? What are the biggest problems clients have? And can we break the mold of what's being done now to solve hard problems?
Yeah. Exactly. So you've been talking a lot in recent years about building out a strong data foundation within this industry. But why is this so important from what you've learned?
You know, I've been, you know, fortunate and challenged to be part, you know, since I was a puppy, for doing big, complex things. And what has always struck me is that data was always the long pole in the tent. Right. It was always the hardest thing that people didn't have. And so, you know, I think it's super important And I learned the hard way, right? I didn't like wake up one day and say, oh, data, it's the answer to everything and I want to get into data. It came from hard lessons learned, right? From having conversions be slow and problems and then getting back and focus on it. And I think today, right, and we've been talking a lot about data and what's so important about the data foundation. Today, and now everybody's stolen the same line, which is, you know, with AI, if your data's not ready for AI, your company's not ready for AI. And the question you and I go back and forth on and people ask all the time, which is, once you understand it, it seems obvious, right? So why doesn't everybody get it? Why doesn't everybody get that I need a good data foundation? Every business problem is tied to a data problem, right? And that's so critical for what we're trying to do. Well, I say to people when I get this question all the time, I say, it's because it's hard. And people always want, human nature is we always want an easier answer, right? So we want to dump it all in a data lake and think somehow magically it's all going to integrate, right? It's not. You got to do the hard work, right? And whether it's I'm doing a major digital transformation, whether it's I'm doing an M&A transaction, or then now I'm all the time saying I want to apply AI because it's a great game-changing technology. But, you know, the statistics that I read and see and observe with clients is probably 80% of the work that's classified as AI today is actually just changing the data, right? Cleaning, getting organized, governing, you know, doing the preparation work in and around data.
Right. So what have you found as being the biggest challenges in helping enterprise clients understand data's value? I mean, how have you, you know, you said it gets obvious after a while, but how do you get them there? How have you sort of broken through this, going from sort of legacy repositories of siloed data to something that can actually help them build out their future vision?
So, you know, I think one of the things is, you know, you do a lot of stories, right? You tell a lot of stories to people, right, about how it works and how it's going to work, right? And unfortunately, most of us love a happy ending, okay? But usually only if the happy ending comes after a disaster, right? And so, you know, the classic storyline is boy meets girl, but it never goes boy meets girl and they get married. It's they go through all kinds of adversity. There's all kinds of problems and then you get there. So when we're talking to people about it, right, what I focus on is to focus on people who haven't done it right. And the most successful charts I've used in the last year are with clients that said, hey, here are two projects. This project started addressing, you know, data during user acceptance test. This project started 6 months before the project started addressing data. Which project do you think was successful and had 99.9% accuracy? And which one do you think had very low accuracy? And then people get it. And the problem we have in the industry is we're not willing to tell people you got to do it differently. We're saying data is important, but yet we're telling them do it the same way we've done it for 20 years, as opposed to it's different, right? And you got to do it different because people want to know what do I need to do different, right, in order to get there. So if you give them tangible actions, not just the same old things, it's there. Which goes to our big thing, Phil, that you and I started talking about a couple years ago now, which is data as its own practice, as its own focus, right? And I think too often we've put it in the technology bucket. It's another thing that IT owns. They're going to fix data. Well, 60+% of the work that has to be done in data is in the business because it's a business problem, right? So then the IT people sit back and say, okay, you know, business, clean up the data. Okay, well, that doesn't go very well, right? Because they need some help. And so it's about creating a specialized way, right, of going after it and working with the business. I tell my teams all the time, if you're in a room and you're only talking to IT people, go find a different room, right? Because the key to successful data is combining business and data together.
So, you know, we've talked a lot about the future vision of the industry, and, you know, I think I broached this topic with the shift to service as a software, having companies think more around a tech-first approach to services than a people approach to services. You know, you've been in this industry or your career, you know, and I've said, I think 2030 is still a long way away, but you can really feel it happening now. Do you see real change happening as we shift more to a software-centric approach to services, or do you still think this is a pipe dream?
I absolutely do not think it's a pipe dream. And I've kind of stacked, you know, my reputation as it is and bet the future of what we're trying to do on this idea, right? But it's hard, right? Because the industry thinks about everything as services and then software. And I'm just telling you, as CEO of a company that's both software-led services, asset-based services, it's hard because everyone you talk to, with the exception of you and a few others, right, want to separate, are you a software company and a service company? And I said, we're yes. The answer is yes. And they say, well, why don't you split them apart, right? And if you look at most of the other companies that are in data today, they're one or the other. I don't think you can do that. I think you've got to be both together. And I think and obviously it's my position, so I can be wrong, but I think when we look back 10 years from now, we're going to say everybody thought it was just services or it was just software is wrong, right? In order to solve the data problem, you need people, you need the best software, right? Along with people who know how to work it and how to solve the problems. And it's the combination of the two that make you really unique.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago, there was a big rumor that Oracle was going to purchase Accenture. That would have been, looking back, that would have been one hell of a game changer if that had ever happened.
It would have. But we'll still see. I predict, you know, what I like about talking to you, Phil, and your team is you're always pushing what's going to happen in 2, 3, 5, 10 years, right? Which I think it's there. The problem is, you know, and we have this issue we've talked about before, as public companies, it takes a lot, right, to change where you are because your shareholders, your investors and stuff want you to keep, right, doing what you're doing, right? And if you make a big change, right, in what you're trying to do, you know, then everybody questions you. Right. And you're either a hero or a zero. But on the other hand, if you don't make bold change, then, you know, you're going to find yourself at the crossroads. Right. And figuring out what you need to do. So it's time to do bold change. Right. And it's time to make sure. But I think a lot of companies out there and a lot of people have, you know, all of us have traditional views about how things should be. I told you about, you know, are you data or are you software? Or are you services, right? Or, you know, are you a one, we still deal with, are you one size fits all, right? And the question is, every time you have a one size fits all, and it's true in hardware, technology, software, and everything else, we go through these phases where people all of a sudden need to break apart in order to get the pieces better. Right. And that's where the bold moves come. Right. That's where the things that make a big difference make a big difference. And I think, you know, what you're talking about is services as software, we're going to see more and more. And part of that is, you know, with software as itself, right, a lot of providers have had a hard time with it. Right. And they failed with it and they've had bad experiences. So you're asking them to go back into something that, you know, they got their hands burned on the stove and go back and do it. It's a different day and age. It's a different, you can do it differently and you can still be successful if you balance it, right? Not easy, but you can get a better balance. But I think having assets is increasingly important, and not assets that leave the client. The big difference is I think it's got to be assets that stay with the clients when you're done, right? Assets that the client can use, not stuff you use to provide services is important, but if I do all that and then I take it all away at the end, what's the value for the client, right? If I put all my data quality rules in a piece of software and then I take that asset with me at the end, what good does that do, right? It just means that if I switch providers, I got to go to somebody else.
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point around leaving the client with value in a way that there's a framework in place that a provider can take to other clients. So they're creating value for their clients versus just, as you said, having a one-to-many, here you go, here's your model, you got the same as everybody else. So that's fascinating. So we get to my final question is, you know, there's been an announcement that you guys will become part of a Capgemini family after the transaction is validated. Can you just talk a bit about why that is your chosen destination and the value you think this is going to bring to the industry?
Sure. We're private equity backed. So at some point we had to go and do something. But I always tell our team, right, it's just another chapter, right? Because it's not like, you know, I think there's a view sometimes of management teams want to sell out and then, you know, go off. For us, it's another chapter in our story, right? We were actually owned by founders, and then we were owned by Goldman Sachs, and then we were owned by Bridge Growth Partners. But investors want to return. So at some point, you have to do stuff. So I've been privileged to spend time with almost every PE firm, almost every CEO or COO of all the major providers out there, you know, over the last couple of years. And what we were looking for is somebody who understood what we did was different and had a strategy that tied together that we could help them push forward. And we feel with Capgemini, right, and we're still in the process of the final regulatory approvals and those kind of good things that we have, but we think we've signed a definitive agreement. We think that I voted with myself to go forward with the transaction, as has key members of the leadership team with me to go forward, because we believe in the future we can create together. Capgemini created a separate insights and data business, you know, 4 years ago that they knew it was separate, but yet they still spent a ton of time with us, very senior levels in the company, to understand what was different about us, right? And how can we accelerate their vision? And the key for us is what we're doing for them with data is tied to their strategic intent that they talk to the board. They have been to the board multiple times, their board, as we have been to ours multiple times, talking about why this was a good fit. Because at the end, we have choices. Yes, you have investors who want returns, but at the end, management teams want choices. And we wanted somebody, a lot of people said, well, sell the software and do the services. Okay. We're like, no. You have to understand that the secret to what we're able to do for the world's largest companies, right? For the Exxons, for the Mercks, for the Organons, for the Pfizers, for the AstraZenecas, for the BHPs, all of those people, the hardest day to work for the world's largest companies, it's about the combination together of our software. And yes, we think we've got a great home with Capgemini, but we still expect to be working with the other systems integrators going forward, because we believe our software is the best in the industry. And if they will dedicate and create services teams, well, then we can augment our services team with that going forward. So we still expect to be hugely partner friendly as part of it. So we think we get the best of both worlds. And again, that took a lot of discussions over a lot of months of you could go left, you could go right. What are you going to do this? What are you going to do that? But again, it's an enabling a data-powered future, right? Data, 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 right? the industry vision about where they want to take their industries, right, is all data powered, right? And it's all about understanding that the fundamental underpinning of all of that is data, right? And so if I want to build industry extensions, right, if I want to build the next generation of things that are AI powered, right, all of those things require data. So, you know, we looked at the end of what we have, their skills, their pieces, their scale, always we think is a 1 + 1 = 5. And that's what we're super excited about.
Yeah, yeah. That's a 20 billion euro business. They can certainly scale you guys if they get it right. So I can only wish you all the very best. I've known you guys for a long time, and I hope this is a great venture for you all. And I look forward to hearing more about the story in the future. But thanks for your time today, Kevin. It's great to hear a bit about you, a bit about your vision, and a bit about how you've made it into a reality with Synity and where you're going next.
Well, I thanks, Phil, and I appreciate your time, your continued partnership. I expect it to continue for many more years. And I'm also excited to watch you guys grow. And to take, you know, from a vision when you told me, you said to me one time, I'm going to start a new analyst firm. And I'm like, ooh, you sure? But I like the boldness. I like the idea to see where you've come to, Phil, from where you started, right, with the idea of HFS to where you are today has been amazing to watch, right? And I'll, you know, continue to be partners, friends, and we'll hopefully continue to grow together.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. I really appreciate that.